Okay, so welcome back to another episode of the Awfully Irish podcast.
In case you didn't know, it was the Awfully Irish podcast.
Just in case.
So, how are you getting on, Jason? It's great to have you here today.
Yeah, good to be here, guys. Good to see you guys.
I appreciate it. Thanks for getting on today. So, Jason, for people who might not know who you are, how about you introduce yourself?
Yeah. Jason Anthony. I'm a voice actor. I've been voice acting for 15 years. In all sorts of computer games, animation, Lego Star Wars, Hero Factory, and most recently, of course, Otter in Call of Duty. Come on, don't be a Muppet. Most people recognize me, or certainly recognize my voice. It's not too dissimilar from my natural voice. A little bit of Jason Statham in there.
Has to be done. But yeah, man, it's some cool stuff. You love to see it. Thomas over here is a big fan of Lego Star Wars, so he's gonna love you here today. But
great.
I mean, like, how did you get into voice acting? Because it's very niche.
Yeah, it is very niche, and I don't, you know, it's a tricky one because a lot of the guys that I work with never really set out to be voice actors. You know, it's something that, you know, that's come across, you know, in their careers, and they've sort of latched onto it and run with it. Myself included, I started out on Disney Channel in the UK as a Disney Channel presenter, TV host. And I then went on to do a show for ITV, and they said, you know, would you like to do some announcements? What we call continuity, basically. And so I said, yeah, that sounds like fun. You know, I mean, entertainment as a whole is, you know, it's a great arena for creatives and stuff. So I was up for anything. And I started doing live TV announcements for ITV and ITV2. And it kind of snowballed from there because I started to realize, wow, this is really fun. Like you know, we just go in, we act, perform, there's no lighting, there's no makeup, costume. It sort of takes all of that extra burden away from performing kind of things. Mm. So the biggest step for me in terms of getting into voiceover was coming to Los Angeles back in 2005, just for I did some acting classes and some stand-up comedy. And that's where my voiceover career really started to snowball, was moving to LA and starting to get opportunities in video games. I was in Diablo 3, I think was one of my first ones. And then started getting into voice acting in animations and stuff. So yeah, it's not something I ever set out to do, if I'm honest, but I'm glad to be where I am now. It's, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, it's a great thing to fall into anyway.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's hard giving advice because a lot of people say, how do I get into voice acting? And, you know, with asking someone who didn't set out to be a voice actor. So, you know, I always say to people, look, you know, you've got to follow your heart, whatever you do. It's not just getting into something because it looks cool. But I always say you can't go wrong with starting in a good acting class, full stop. And that could lead to voice acting. It could lead to on camera. It could lead to stage, theater, musicals, whatever. But I don't think you can ever go wrong just starting in a good acting class, you know.
Yeah.
That's some really good advice right there. Because a lot of people, they don't know where to start. Like,
yeah, and that's it. And you know, I always say to people as well, it's got to be something you love to do. Like I just love doing it. If I'm not working, I'm doing TikTok videos, I'm doing fan videos. I just love being in this booth, you know, doing and voices and creating stuff. And so it's got to be something you really love to do. And voiceover, it's one of those jobs that does look really cool, but it's not for everyone. You know, the end product is always, you know, fun to watch, but the process isn't for everyone. It's very isolating. I mean, half of the actors I perform with on film in the end product, I've never met. You know, it's a very isolated job, which isn't for everyone, you know. So yeah. That's something good to sort of factor in as well when you're thinking about voiceover.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really think about that aspect. You could do it all from home. It's great for the pandemic at the moment, but.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had, well, I say always, certainly for the last 10 years, I've had a studio at home. So
it's nice.
Since I sort of went full time, I've had a studio at home, and it was like 50-50, either going to studios to record because of the sensitivity of the material. But now, of course, these big studios, DreamWorks and Disney, they don't have a choice. So we're now recording from home. So, yeah, I just very fortunate that this was my job. And yeah, even though work has been disrupted, I've still been working, and it hasn't been, you know, a major derailment like so many poor businesses. And that my heart bleeds for the small businesses that have, you know, just gone since the pandemic. Yeah. So, you know,
it's
rough. People who've lost, who've lost their employment, or people who've had both their parents fall out of employment.
Yes.
That's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is. And, for the grace of God go I kind of thing, it's just how it's fallen into. My partner, she writes for Warner Brothers and we're working on a big video game for Warner Brothers. And, again, video games has exploded since the pandemic because people are at home and playing them. So, you know, and I think that's why this year, or certainly last year, 2020, was, you know, a chance for me, especially on TikTok, to start connecting with fans of Call of Duty, because so many more people were online playing the game and wanting to escape, you know, this reality that we kind of live in now. So, you know, I think, video games is now it's as much the gameplay as the social interaction, the community. I mean, the Call of Duty, the COD community is just fantastic. I mean, it's my first game with Call of Duty, and the community are just amazing. Just, really, really supportive.
Yeah. They're a great bunch. They're a great bunch.
Yeah.
And we know them well. We've had plenty of voice actors on from Call of Duty. And people eat it up. They just love it. And especially if they get to interact with them. Like, we had the voice actor of Woods from Black Ops on before. And like for live stream, people got to interact and they love it. So,
yeah.
People just love the Call of Duty franchise now. It's like the biggest, FPS in the world at the moment.
Yeah,
and it's a competition.
Yeah, and I think all credit to Infinity Ward and Activision. I mean, the campaigns that they roll out is just incredible, that they just keep moving forward with all these brand new campaigns, one after the other. It's amazing.
Mm. But even though, I think the Call of Duty games, they're the most sold out games every single year they come out. It's really cool to see how much the fans of these games love them as much as the people like yourself love making them. They love starring in them. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, you know, the characters aside, just the detail to the environments, the weapons, the machines, the gameplay, how fluid it is. I mean, it's just, you know, I've been involved with video games for the last decade, but I would say for the Call of Duty, that just takes it to a whole nother level. It's extraordinary. And even though I don't actually play video games, I think I'd be terrible watching you guys on Call of Duty. I wouldn't last 2 seconds. I'd just be, you know, sniped out. But, you know, watching the gameplay, it's just extraordinary. It blows me away. And this, the new campaign, Cold War, I mean, oh my gosh, it's just brilliant. Just brilliant. I don't know how they do it. They must have so many people in Activision working away 24/7, you know.
What was amazing about that game is they did a lot of it from home. And, you know, their biggest complaints, like that fans would have about the campaign was it was too short. And yes. That's an amazing complaint to have.
I know. People were done with the campaign in like 24 hours. They were just on it, done it, and then they were on to, you know, multiplayer. And then, of course, they brought Warzone out, and then they brought the seasons out. I mean, and then, of course, what even blew me away was the zombies in Verdansk. They did a Halloween special and bought Jigsaw and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy. I just like, whoa, you guys are just, no pun intended, killing it, you know.
Yeah, they're doing a great job. But it's cool they got to be a part of it. So when you got the job to play Otter, what was that like? Because normally you don't know it's a Call of Duty game until you're doing it.
No, exactly. It's funny now because I've done obviously quite a few sessions with them, and they still won't call it Call of Duty, even though, you know, it says my name, Otter. They it's all under a secret name, which a lot of projects do now. The secrecy for video games, I would say, is almost as big, if not bigger, than movies. So everything's, you know, always top secret and stuff. So I went in to do my first session, and it wasn't until I was even in the session that I realized, aha, this is Call of Duty. And of course, not knowing the scale of Call of Duty, because as I say, I'm not a gamer. I knew it was a big brand, but I had no idea it was that big, you know, globally.
What was your big shock to find out how big it was like?
I think when I went on TikTok a year ago, started up TikTok a year ago. I put a small clip up of me doing Otter, and just flooded with messages. And I'm like, wow, people know Otter. Cause I just thought, oh, well, he's just this character in a video game, you know? And then it just grew and grew and grew. And then I realized, wow, okay. And of course then started watching gameplay and been approached by some companies and stuff to do some appearances, which of course didn't happen last year. But then realized, wow, this is a really big deal. This game's huge. And then of course, then researching all the different chapters that have happened over, you know, over the last decade or more. So that's when the penny dropped. I was like, oh, wow, this is great.
Yeah. I don't think a lot of actors, when they've done the job, realize how big it is, and, you know, like what they can get out of it. Like we had Chad Michael Collins on, the guy who played Alex.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he started streaming afterwards, and he gets like a crazy amount of people coming out like to watch and to just see him play the game. And he's not the best at it, so he says, but, you know, people just find like a connection with the character and want to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, with Chad as Alex in the main campaign as well, you know, all those cut scenes and stuff. And this is the thing that I've learned during, and it's not all video games, of course, but these big brands, it's these cut scenes that they do are so cinematic that propel the story forward, propel the missions forward. And now, working on a project similar to that, this, but in a different world, I realized the scope of work to bring these games to fruition is just huge. It is monstrous, and it's hundreds of millions in development and building these games. I still think it's wizardry. I you know how some things you think, you know, somebody says, explain the universe to me, and you're like, I can't. I literally can't. It's too big. This is how developing a video game is. in that respect, how they create these open worlds and all the detail and the grass and the
it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, it is.
I was playing earlier with friends, and we're in a house because you know, like, we're kind of waiting for the storm to close, and we're just chilling. I have a sniper, so it's like a mag. I say like a zoom basically, and I'm looking at like just the plug ports, you know, like we in some of the houses, and I was like, hold on a second, is that USB Type 2? Like, the detail they put in to like.
Yeah.
Just a normal plug and then USB Type 2. And it was like imagine being a guy who spent all that time trying to make it a USB Type 2 and no one's ever going to see it. It's just so fine in detail.
I know, but you have.
Yeah. I played the game so much. I only found it today. You know, it's just crazy detail. Or even the newspaper clippings on the walls. You know, you could read them. You know, like, you wouldn't see that in other games.
No, it is, you know, some people's job in the morning or the week or whatever is to, you know, arrive Monday morning and their job is to make all those little plugs. You're doing the plugs, you're doing the brickwork, you're doing weeds in the courtyard. You know, they're all made up and they've all got to look real. They've got to, you know, fit into, you know, the open world environments. And that's... that I'm always just staggered with, you know. Mm. We have the easiest job. We come in, we deliver our lines, you know, we walk away. And then, you know, these guys are spending years developing all the amazing worlds.
We would say regularly, but it is so incredible to see how far video games have progressed over the years.
Oh my god.
I was starting off from a game like Pong.
Yeah.
You have this massive open world, like say Warzone, where everything is, there's wind in the game. If you ever see the grass, like it's there's wind, there's, you know, you have little birds everywhere. It's so cool to see.
Yeah, it is. And it's, you know, it's so good it probably doesn't register, and that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to be so good you're not even aware of it until you start focusing on things and think, oh my gosh, yeah, they've even got wind in here, and you know, and birds and clouds, and the clouds are moving, and you know, everything has to, you know, be in this simulation, you know, which what we're supposed to be living in, right? We're supposed to be in a simulation.
I'm a bit more convinced on that after trying virtual reality.
Yeah, I know. Whoa. We have got games obviously here, and we've got all the consoles and stuff, because my partner's a writer for video games, and she she bought Batman Arkham on virtual reality, and I did a few chapters in that, and that's even a whole nother level. That is just, and when you go into the actual asylum, well, it just freaked me out. It was just too real. Too real. Even for Otter.
There you go. It's just crazy. And then, like, it gets even more detailed. You can have those omnidirectional treadmills. So you could, just run it. You can get, like, haptic feedback suits.
Yeah.
Have the gloves, so like if you grab an object, like restrict your movement. So say I got the ball in VR, it would stop my hands at the shape of the ball, so it'd feel like I'm actually holding it. It's crazy.
I know. And yet, weren't we watching that in a movie a couple of years ago called Ready Player One?
Yes.
Yeah. And there's this headset that's coming out soon, or I don't know if the Valve Index has the same thing, where the refresh rate of it is the equivalent of that in the human eye.
Whoa.
Which is, you know, it's indistinguishable from reality. Now that's creepy, but amazing. Yeah,
so that's coming to change the world. But I mean, I think, you know, with what's happened last year, I think a lot of things are going to be quite welcomed to escape our reality. You know, we were just talking about this the other day, and I said, wouldn't it be cool if you just could upload Dublin or you could upload London or Paris or Los Angeles and just stick your headset on and go, I'm just going to go for a walk down, the Champs-Élysées, or I'm going to go and walk down Hollywood Boulevard, and just stick your headset on and go for a walk in another country, in another city.
Probably
and
do that with Google Maps.
It's amazing that hasn't actually.
Yeah, you could probably do that in Google Maps.
Or what was that game that came out last year with the, is it Plane Simulator or something?
Flight Simulator.
Flight Simulator. You could fly to anywhere in the world. You could fly over your house. You could land like just outside your house, or like it's amazing.
Crazy.
They used Google Maps for that, didn't they though?
Like, yeah. I tell you, have you guys played, and again, I haven't played, I was just watching, but it was brilliant to watch. The Ultimate Spider-Man, the Spider-Man PS4 game.
Yes, I've played it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, the entire Manhattan Island. Again, in all its glorious detail. That is just staggering to me. And that's not a huge area. And that's in every single building, pane of glass, Central Park, every bush tree. That's, you know, that's where I just think, wow, you know, that I think that was Bethesda that made that. And it's just, that's extraordinary. That is just extraordinary. I don't think we played much of the game. I think we just wandered around New York.
It just in shock and awe. It's amazing what they can do.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of Bethesda, like, the detail in Skyrim, and that came out like 10 years ago.
Yes.
And then they have a new game coming out, and I expect that to be absolutely insane again.
Yeah.
Just what they can do is beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It is. And as you say with Skyrim, you know, I mean, that's considered now an old game. And yet that's still, you know, that's still a trailblazer for a lot of developers. That's still a, a model for a lot of the games coming out now is Skyrim.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's amazing. They did it like 10 years ago when the technology wasn't really there. Imagine they did it today. Like,
Yeah, I know, exactly. And that's the thing as well that's growing so exponentially is the technology, you know, to be able to do these. Have you guys played on the new PS5 yet?
No, we haven't.
I've tried the new Xbox.
I follow this account now. And I have them on notifications as of this morning. They're called PS5 updates. I'm getting it. I'm going to get it this month. And I make that a promise.
I mean, doesn't that look like it's been plucked out of the future all of a sudden? It's just like, whoa, what?
Mm. Oh, it's crazy.
It looks
awesome. And then the new Xbox looks like a mini fridge.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I got the new Xbox, and I'm probably going to, after this generation, I'm going to switch over to PlayStation.
Smart.
They really don't have the player in mind, and they didn't seem to make any progress from the Xbox One.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it seems to me PlayStation, they just seem to revolutionize everything every step, don't they? They really do bring you a new console, a new way of playing.
Emphasis on it being new. Like, the Xbox Series X is just a repackaged Xbox One, basically.
Right.
The layout when you log in is the exact same thing. The things you could do on the old Xbox One, exact same as. You load into games a little bit faster. That's the only real difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the storage is the same as well, I think, which was really annoying. And the controllers need batteries, and you can just plug in a PlayStation controller since like PS4.
Yeah, right.
That's a pain. Like, buying batteries the whole time for your controller is a pain. It dying when you're in a game is a pain.
Yeah. It seems archaic to have to put batteries in a controller. My God. You know, you're going to go through so many batteries.
What was it? It also has a problem. I don't know if they can even do anything about it anymore. Or is it too late? If you have, if you change the batteries in the controller, it'll disconnect from the Xbox.
Oh, so, no.
Say your controller dies, big game, you plug it in, or you get new batteries in, you won't be able to reconnect, you have to restart the console.
Oh, no, that's ridiculous. I had no idea. Whoa.
It's a pain. Even if you put the old ones back in, same as. Just the second the power goes and it can't maintain its connection to the Xbox, it has to reset it.
Oh, my God.
Pain. P pure pain.
It just seems like a fundamental design flaw that should not ever have happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if they can fix that with software either. I really don't know what they can do.
Does it have USB ports in it?
It does, but it used to be Type-C. But you remember, every time I plug it in, you can hear the buzzing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that would be something they'd fix since the last generation. But they really did nothing. I'm just kind of a loyalist. Like, my dad got the original Xbox. And then he got the Xbox 360. And then myself and my brother said, oh, we'll get the Xbox One. And then we got the new Xbox. Saying, oh, maybe they can do better.
Yeah.
I was wrong. Like, that's higher specs than the PlayStation. But, you know, when the user interface is just garbage and a controller disconnects, you know, it's pretty awful.
It's amazing, though, if you think about, like, just brands, how loyal we'll be to a brand. But there will get a point where you're just like, okay, enough's enough. But we will stick with a brand for a very long time until something really bad happens, and then you're like, okay, I'm switching brands. I think that's so true in so many things. If it's something, you know, your family did, or all your friends have this particular brand, you know, and of course video gaming's no exception.
Yeah,
I think the console thing goes back to, like, what did you have growing up?
Yeah, exactly, what you used to. Yeah.
I mean, I had an Xbox 360 when I was younger, and then I switched over to a PlayStation, and it's still the best decision I've ever made. You kidding?
You're right to.
PlayStation is great. And also, the thing with PlayStation is that there's way more story-based games. Like, on Xbox, you can't get Spider-Man. You can't get God of War.
But the next Bethesda game is coming out as an Xbox exclusive. So you won't be able to get, like, the next Elder Scrolls game.
Well, I'll be too busy playing Spider-Man. I'm good.
Yeah, I was going to say.
when I'm fighting dragons, you can be playing Spider-Man.
Good with me, man.
But anyway... You didn't just do Call of Duty Modern Warfare or Warzone. What as cool a job as it was, I think you have to do a challenge to get your character, don't you?
Yes.
That's pretty unique.
I think it's the Operation Crosswind, which I hear is very difficult. But, you know, there's so many YouTube videos now showing you what to do. But I think there's a challenge at the end involving a juggernaut. That seems to derail a lot of people, but people keep asking me if we can get more skins for Otter. I don't know if that's a common request.
There should be a True to Life one. Well, that's literally you right now. That's what we need.
Yeah, that's it. With the old glasses on, going, hang on a minute, I can't see. Get out of the way, you mate. Yeah. Right.
I love it. But yeah, you also did the Lego movie, or like this, the second one. And you've also been a little Lego guy getting choked by Darth Vader. So what's it like playing a Lego character? That's very niche.
Yeah, it is. And again, you know, we to a degree we get to pick and choose what we, you know, want to audition for and what we want to do. And Lego has just been something I've worked with for a decade or more now, and I'm just thrilled because I'm a huge Lego fan. I have been since I was a kid. I love Lego. I love watching the builds, the new sets. If I had a separate house, I just fill it with Lego sets. Again, I'm just fascinated at the connection they have with all these different brands, you know, with Marvel, with Harry Potter, they just, you know, with Star Wars. So I'm as much of a fan of their films and video games as I am the actual Lego. And I've just been fortunate enough that a lot of things have come my way that have been Lego. First of all, I voiced the Lego ride in Legoland in Manchester.
That's cool.
Yeah, so I was a voice of a roller coaster ride in Manchester for Lego, and then I did Lego Hero Factory. He was like this Aussie techie guy. So I did that for a couple of, I think we did three or four of those, Lego Hero Factory. That was a great cast. Wow, flipping heck. I again, just blown away. There was Henry Winkler in there, who was the Fonz from Happy Days. Mark Hamill.
He just played, does everything.
Yeah, he's just in everything. And he's awesome. Just amazing. Then we had Ron Schneider, who was John Schneider, not Ron. John Schneider, who is he was in Superman, Smallville, and going back to my days, he was in Dukes of Hazzard. There was just a great cast in that. So that was an honor for me. And then Lego Star Wars. Once I did that, they offered me the part in Lego Star Wars as Admiral Ozzel, which was great. Yeah, and then I've just done a campaign with Lego for Sainsbury's in the UK.
As you do.
Yeah, for the Lego cards. All the Lego cards came out. They come out every year. And so I did a big campaign with that, and I played, I think, sort of six or seven characters in the whole commercials. Corncob guy and surfer dude, and yeah, so that was really fun. And then the Lego video game.
Just like the Lego figures, you know, like you were able to get by in packets, and
yeah,
we used to have loads of them in my house. That's really cool. But then, as with Lego, you lose a piece here, you hoover one up there, and your stash gets smaller and smaller, and right. Such happened here.
Yeah, it's a little bit like making a puzzle, and you lose a couple of bits. Oh. So next time,
or a chessboard, you lose one piece.
Yeah, that's it. You're like, where did that bit go? And it's always the key bit that makes the build that you lose, like a figure or the bit that goes right on the top, or the aerial. It's always those bits that seem to go missing. I love working with Lego. I hope we can continue our partnership moving forward. But again, it's not something I set out to do. It's just what's sort of come across my way, really. And I'd love to do more Lego stuff. A lot of it is made now in Canada. Especially the Lego Star Wars stuff. So so of course, we being based in America, we can't work in Canada. So a little bit of trivia.
There you go. Are you currently in the UK or the US?
US. I moved out here to LA. In 2005, I came out to do a 3-month acting school, and then just really loved it out here, loved the lifestyle and loved the opportunities. And so I moved out here in 06, and I've been backwards and forwards. I still work in the UK from here, which is great. Doing some projects.
That's the thing with being a voice actor, you can do it everywhere. Well, you can live on the most barren island. If you've got Wi-Fi connection, you're going to be okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, the software, again, just like computer games, the software for connecting us has just got better and better. And, as long as you've got one of these boys set up in a padded cell, you're good to go. So, yeah, I've been, you know, doing some campaigns here. I did... the new Pepper Army campaign for the UK last year, which was a great honour, because one of my comedy idols was Adrian Edmondson, who, did you ever guys watch The Young Ones or Bottom? Do you ever remember seeing a series with Rick Mayall and Adrian Edmondson? Some of you guys might know of it. They were a great duo team, and they went off and did their own show called Bottom, and it's absolutely hilarious. And I always loved Adrian Edmondson, because he always plays these wacky characters. Oh, you know, he's kind of like all over the show. And he was a natural fit to be the voice of Pepper Army. Mm. So when they contacted me to see if I'd do the new Pepper Army ad, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. And so I did my best Pepper Army, we're an animal. He's an absolute nutter. And then we had two new characters in the Pepper Army, which, funny enough, one of them does sound remarkably like Otter. He's the new chicken Pepper Army sausage. And then there was a beef, and the beef one was all right down there, really deep. Yeah, I am beef. And so that was kind of like one of those sort of a weird job that you could never plan for. They were looking for somebody who could do all three voices and the Pepper Army, it's a bit of an animal, tag at the end. And so, you know, that job came in. So yeah, sometimes, you know, your resume expands in ways you never thought it would.
You know, talking about it now, it's actually my goal and aspirations to be in the Pepper Army. And it's just like, I have one goal in life right now, and it's to be the beef. I could probably pull a good beef guy, you know?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I know. And that, you know, I just think it's kind of like, you know, a way just to move forward in life is that no matter how bad things are going or good, you just don't know what's around the corner. So you can plan, you can prep, you can practice, you can do this, you can do that, but you just don't know what opportunities are around the corner. So I think it's just, go back to what I said before, I think whatever you choose to do in life, just make sure it makes you happy and you've got a passion for it. You know, I think now more so than ever, you know, people are leaving school, colleges, and thinking, you know, what am I going to do for a career? And I think with this, you know, with the incredible internet and amazing creative platforms like TikTok and Instagram, I think just do what you love to do. I mean, people are making a fortune playing video games. You know, if you'd have told me that 20 years ago, I would have said, no, you can't make money from playing video games. Yes, you can. You know, so it's about bringing your unique personality to something and your natural enjoyment. You can't fake that. You know, nothing's going to give you sustainability more than passion. And I think, you know, these are all jobs and things that sound so cool and sound so great, but you need to be passionate about them because it is a literal virtual roller coaster ride of ups and downs and challenges and things. And I think the passion is what's going to keep you on the ride and keep you, you know, hopefully moving upwards and forward, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, who knows what's around the corner, you know?
Nobody. And that's the thing.
No. you really have to enjoy what you're doing. Otherwise, it's going to be a rough ride. It's going to be a rough ride.
Yeah. I've had my fair share of it. You know, there's been times of celebration along the way, but who would have forecasted last year with COVID? You know, so you know, a lot of people have had to figure out how they're going to still do what they want to do. And I will say, it seems to me like, you know, YouTubers and TikTokers and stuff, you know, if you can hold on to the creativity, and if you can hold on to the direction your career is going in and not give that over to somebody else, then you're in a much, much stronger position. Like, you know, like podcasts, for instance, you know, you guys contacted me, you guys are out there hustling, you're making it happen. So, you know, nobody can derail that other than you guys. So I think, you know, the era to be an entrepreneur is now, and the technology is here. If you're not already learning it and using it, now's the time to really, you know, step it up. And that's why I say, you know, one of the most common questions I get is, how do I get into voiceover? And it's like, well, you can do that tomorrow. Nothing's stopping you from getting an animation clip, putting your own voice to it and sticking it up on TikTok and getting a million views. You know, people are getting noticed on TikTok specifically and getting voiceover agents contacting them. So again, it's like, there's so much power now to the creator. You've just got to be passionate. You've got to do it because you love doing it, not because you think it's cool or it might get me a lot of followers or likes. You know,
yeah.
It's got to be something you just love to do, and you wouldn't.
You can only see through if they're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have to say, doesn't like. Well, I can't think of her name now, right now, but the most followed girl on TikTok, she's a D'Amelio or something, Charlie D'Amelio. Isn't she getting her own reality TV show where the Kardashians were? Like, the Kardashians were taken off air for the D'Amelios. Like, isn't that?
Wow.
Isn't that amazing? Like,
just. Yeah.
Is it amazing?
It's not amazing. It's amazing to think of.
Is it?
That's someone who posts video online.
Yeah.
About a year and a half now is getting her own reality TV show just because she's good at it. Like,
yeah,
it's mad.
Yeah, and this is the power of it. I mean, I think, you know, some of these TikTokers have got billions of likes and, you know, tens, hundreds of millions of followers. You know, is it for everyone? No, but is it a platform where, you know, if you have a good personality and you have something that people want to watch, then, you know, you're going to build fans. I don't think you should ever enter it thinking, I want to get famous. I want to be TikTok famous. I want to get verified. I want 1,000 likes. Like, that's not the game. That's a path to ruin, because, you know, you're relying your happiness and creativity on somebody liking it. And that's not what it was about. I mean, Jackson Pollock, the abstract expressionist, I mean, a lot of people look at his work and just think you spilled a pot of paint on a canvas. You know, it's so abstract, but that's what he did. And now they're the most, you know, revered, valued pieces of art possibly in the world. But he didn't do it because somebody said people will like that. He did it because that's what he did, and that's his style. So I just implore anyone to, you know, use it sensibly and use it the right way. Use it because you just want to share your work. And just like me with voice acting, some people will hate what I do. Some people will love it. Some people will sit on the fence. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to do it. You know, so likes or no likes, I think you've just got to, you know, put your work out there. And it's the hardest thing for a creator to do is put their work out there for the public, whether you're an artist, a musician, an actor, you know, anyone, is to put your work out there for review, basically. But yeah. it's an important step to make. So, you know, that's why I say you've got to ground everything. You don't just go, oh, I'm going to be an artist. You study it and you get influenced by other artists. I've been heavily influenced. I was heavily influenced as a kid growing up by Peter Sellers from the Pink Panther movies, from Chevy Chase. I used to watch... Morecambe and Wise, the two Ronnies, you know, these are people that influenced me in comedy growing up that I clearly absorbed, but I didn't want to become them. I wanted to still become my own person. But we all need somebody to, you know, to be influenced by, you know, and aspire to, you know. And then you just go out and do your thing. You know, you do you, as they say.
Mm. What a note to finish on. My God.
I didn't think we were going to get like a bit of a motivational speech at the end.
No, but you've sorry, made guys. Me cry. Congratulations, sir.
But yeah, look, we also have like a negativity bias. And you're going to look at criticism and you're going to, for some reason, favor that opinion over like the good stuff, which is an odd thing that we have. You have to kind of get past it. You have to do what makes you happy.
Because if you do it for any other reasons, and I guarantee you're gonna hit bumps and big bumps, so if you're doing it for any other reason, that's what's going to derail you, and if you look at anyone's success story, they're not really successes, they're failures. We're almost looking at their failure story, not their success story. We look at what they tried that didn't work, what they tried and didn't work. The success is the destination. Ultimately, what is success? That's, again, I think we need to redefine what success is, because it's different to everyone, so I think shows like the Kardashians and things like that, they create this world that really, that isn't even a real world, even though it's reality TV. It's not. It's stage television of wealthy people. And I also think we have to take our sort of mind off of the wealth side too, because if you chase the money, a lot of people, just think, oh, I'll chase the money. Well, become a stockbroker then. Then you literally are just chasing money.
Well, there's no better time than now, right now.
Well, yeah, GameStop.com.
Power to the player. Oh, crazy.
I loved that story, by the way. Oh, God, that was so great.
Amazing.
And the people that are successful in that are passionate about making money like that. It's the stocks and shares, it's the hustle, so again, it's not something that's for everyone, bottom line is follow your heart, follow your passion, and that'll get you through pretty much everything, and you can always turn to that, and you don't have to put everything out there. I'm sure every artist hasn't put every single piece of work they've ever done out there for world review. But you see, when I started out in entertainment in 2000, I mean, we didn't have these platforms, we didn't have this social reach. It was all, if you made it on TV, that was your social reach. We didn't have all these social media platforms, and as much as they are great, they can be a downfall too, so they've got to be used carefully, I would say. Yeah.
A double-edged sword, definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And podcasts are great. I love doing podcasts.
Other podcasts are great. I agree 100%. There are some really good podcasts, just not this one, but yeah, there's a lot of really, really good podcasts out there.
Yeah, and this is one of them.
Oh, that's we'll have that debate another time, but
we'll have that
before we let you go, Jason, if people want to check you out, where can they find you?
I'm pretty much on TikTok most of the time, at the Jason Anthony on TikTok. You can find me at my website, officialjasonanthony.com. That's all my official stuff. And then I do a lot of fun stuff on TikTok. And I try to be as interactive as I can. I try and write back to everyone that messages me. So, if you want a shout out, let me know. And normally for shout outs and things and videos, you can hit me up on Instagram and I'll, DM me on Instagram. I just did a video this morning for somebody's birthday, for a Call of Duty fan. So I just try and do as many as I can. But yeah, TikTok's my main one right now.
Very cool. Very up to date, you know, like, well done.
Well, you know what? I was so late to the boat with Instagram. I've been on Instagram, I think, 3 years. And I was shocked when somebody said, you know, it's been out since 2010. I was like, what? So I wanted to be relatively quick to TikTok, even though TikTok's been out since, I think, 2016. I thought I'm not going to miss this social media, you know, locomotive again. So I got on it a year ago and it's been great. I think as out of all of them, I think the interaction and the censoring and the policing of TikTok is excellent. They really do an excellent job of making it a pleasant environment to be creative on, you know. And for anyone that's not a creator, just know that when somebody creates a video or their artwork, you know, this is a piece of them that they're putting out there, and it's, you know, it takes some nerve to do that, you know, to put something out there for review, you know. So just bear that in mind. But other than that, I think it's I love seeing all the other creators. It's just a brilliant platform for whatever you do, woodworking, traveling, skateboarding. It's on there, you name it. It's brilliant. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Sorry about that. Computer crashed.
He's changed positions. Oi, lads, he's changed position. I got you six.
Oh, you know, I actually have nightmares about there being two Jareds, but starting to come through. Jason, thank you so much for coming on again. You've been a terrific guest. We're going to definitely have you on again in the future to talk about your upcoming work. And
yeah, it'd be my honor.
100%.
We've got a couple of things to look out for. Marmaduke, the movie's coming out with J.K. Simmons, Pete Davidson from SNL, who's brilliant. Little old me in there as Ronnie, who's the bulldog owner, Ronnie. And then this Christmas, I know it's a long way off, but we just had our launch of Piney the Lonesome Pine played out on Disney Channel this Christmas in the US. So myself, Simon Pegg, and Jonathan Pryce, Oscar nominated Jonathan Pryce, we're starring in Piney the Lonesome Pine. So that's going to be its worldwide premiere this December. Yeah, so that'd be quite exciting. And I actually sing a song with Simon Pegg, if you can believe that.
Not bad.
No, Simon's got a very good, he's got a very good singing voice, Simon has.
If you're ever just chatting to him, tell him I say hi. I'm a fucking
I will.
Huge, I'm a huge Simon Pegg fan. So.
I have not got a very good singing voice.
But well, we're going to see you next Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. You can't miss me. I'm a big talking Christmas tree. All right, there lads. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on. It's been a pleasure.
Yes. Anyone who listened, sound for listening, tell your grandma about the podcast and take it easy.
Top of the morning, lads and ladies. Support for the Awfully Irish podcast is now brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming.
Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, and you're no longer lead the look of the Irish with the ladies. Manscaped just launched in Ireland. We've gone years without using the right tools for the job. You can now be one of the first men in Ireland to experience their life-changing products.
Your balls will thank you.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code IrishPod at manscaped.com.
That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code IrishPod.